take your Bibles this morning. Luke chapter 15. It's a great lesson for all of us in this passage. Jesus himself gives a story. We're probably, many of us, familiar with the story, but I want you to notice a few things about it. It could apply to all of us. Number one, you'll notice this father had two sons. They were completely different. How many of you have brothers or sisters and you're completely different? You don't have to raise your hand. But you'll notice that that often happens within a family. There are just differences in attitude and spirit, all that. Now, I do believe that we train our children right, and the Lord blesses, and they might be different in personality, but they have the same direction. And so you'll notice here, these two boys didn't. One boy looked at the world, and he saw everything in the world is wonderful. And folks, everybody in this room, we have to be careful of that, because we are bombarded by the things of the world. If you have a television and you watch television and in between what's called commercials, there's all kinds of things that are promoted, many of which would not be something for us to do or something for us to buy. Or we're being promoted to buy new cars and how wonderful they are. Nothing wrong with a new car, but everybody here can't afford new cars, as many as are advertised. And so we, if not careful, we get our wanter gets to be increased. We begin to notice things and say, well, I sure like to have that, and I sure like to have this, and well, I'd like to have one of those, and I'd like to have one of those. And so young people, how many of you ever heard the word entitled? How many of you know what that word means, entitled? It means you feel like you deserve something because you breathe air. But that's not true. This young man felt like he was entitled. Did you know entitlement's been throughout history? This young man said, you know, hey, I'm entitled to have my dad's stuff. It's mine. I deserve it. So I'm going to ask him to give it to me. Now, his dad could have said no. But, you know, I think this dad's very wise. I want you to listen to this. I would rather a young person lose everything and give their heart to the Lord than have everything and have no heart for the Lord. And I think this father looked at it and said, you know, I've tried every way in the world to get this young man's heart. I love him with all my heart. I'm going to give him what he's asked for, because I can see his mindset and his attitude. He's going to go waste it all. I don't want that. But maybe when he gets there and halfway through, he'll see and he'll come back. Now, folks, every one of us, the world is pulling on us. The old devil is pulling on our marriages. He's pulling on our families. He's trying to get you to get second jobs and third jobs so you can get a little nicer this, a little more of that. Be careful. This young man had big eyes for the world. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that followed to. Give me what I deserve. Give me my rightful inheritance. Now, his father had done very well financially, and the Bible says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, Proverbs 13. But this young man asked for it early. And I think this was the father trying to bring the young man back. He said, okay, I'll give it to you. So he took everything and split it right down the middle and gave it all to him. And this young man, and I cannot tell you, as a youth pastor for 13, 14 years, all the young men that, young ladies that said, I can't wait to get to be 18. I'm going to get out of my own. I'm going to get my own apartment and get my own car and do my own thing, and nobody's going to ever tell me what to do. There's nobody in this room that people don't tell you what to do. They haven't figured that out. They tell you when you pay your rent. They tell you if you don't pay your rent, we're going to kick you out. They're going to tell you you got to be on work on time. If you're not, you're going to lose your job. I need you to do this. I want you to do that. They don't realize their whole life you're going to be told things to do no matter what, no matter where you work. So you have to have a willing spirit to say, Lord, help me to have an obedient heart. And it shows up first in your parents. If you don't have an obedient heart to your parents, you're not going to have an obedient heart to your boss. If you complain about your parents making you clean up your room and doing this and doing that, how many of you, how many of you are teenagers in this room? Let's see your hands. Teenagers in the room. Raise your hand up. Good night. Good night. Okay. How many of you teenagers, you bought your room? Wait a minute. Don't laugh. How many of you bought your room? Nobody? Where did you get your room from, Tillman? Your parents. Where'd you get your room from? Your parents. Did all of you get it from your parents? Jaden, where'd you get your room from? Your parents. So if your parents gave you something, how do you treat it? Well, it's my room now. That's what this guy said. I've seen signs on doors, keep out, parents especially. And they were given the room. I don't think they understand. They'd be careful because this young man had the same attitude. So in your room, let me back up. Okay, Shirley. Okay, let's see here. Michaela, what's in your room? Your bed, okay. Did you buy your bed? You didn't buy your bed. Okay, any of you guys buy your bed? Man, somebody's been awfully good to y'all. Nina, did you buy your bed? No. Wait a minute. Oh, Shirley. Oh, wait a second. Okay, Andrew, where'd you get that suit? Okay, from your room. All right. Did you buy that suit? You didn't buy that suit. Ben, I like those glasses. Did you buy those glasses? You didn't. Where'd you get those glasses? Okay, I know the doctor who bought them for you. He didn't give them to you. Where'd you get them? Your parents bought them for you. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you any more questions, Ben. Messed up my illustration. Do you understand everything in your room? How many of you young people have gone to your parents and said, Mom, Dad, I walked through the room and I said, I want you to know something, Dad. I sure appreciate my mom. Thank you for my bedroom. I'm very grateful. So because I'm grateful, I'm going to clean it up. Rather than, hey, I need a new this. I need a new that. Just keep asking. That's entitlement. So you notice this young man? He's a teenage boy. He's probably 18, 20 years old. And he looks at his dad. He may have been 16. We don't know that. But he's old enough to say, look, Dad, I've seen how Bobby and Joey and Tommy on the other side of town, they live and they can do whatever they want to. And I want you to give me my inheritance so I can go have a good time like they are. And his dad realizes there's no stopping this. Okay. So he gave him his inheritance. And man, I mean, he loaded it up on wagons and he had everything, his entire inheritance. And it was probably worth an awful lot of money because the dad gave him his half. Half of a farm, the land, the housing. He gave him an awful lot. And so he goes, I'm sure, into town, into the world, and says, man, I got it all made. Hey, everybody, come party with me and have a good time. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous living. Selfish living. Doing what I want to do with it. Nobody telling me what to do. I'll rent me a room. I got me an apartment. You know, it's funny. I had a couple came into me and said, we're going to get married. What do your parents think? Well, we don't know. You know, okay, well, we started going through a little pre-marriage counseling. I don't marry people unless the parents agree, just to help them get a good start. You can get married anywhere, justice of the peace, whatever, but I want you to get a good start. And so, you know, this couple looked at it and they said, they got to the budgeting part of it. And they said, okay, let's look at it. And I said, prepare a budget. Go out and rent your an apartment. In your mind, go look for one, come back, put your budget down. They came back sad-faced. What's wrong? We decided not to get married. Said, you what? Was it something I said? No. We can't afford an apartment. He works at McDonald's, and I work at Burger King, and we don't have enough money to get married. I said, and you're just now thinking of that? Well, we just love each other, and they loved each other until they found out they couldn't get an apartment together, and then they didn't love each other anymore. You know what that tells me? Really, we didn't love each other. They just wanted to move in together and get away from their parents, and then all of a sudden they realize. Now, they're both happily married to somebody else, but they didn't realize it at the beginning. But whenever you go through and start calculating, how much is an apartment? How much is a place to stay? How much is a car? At that point in time, how much is a horse? I mean, they're expensive. How much was a saddle? And how am I going to go work? A day's wages was a dollar. Young people don't understand, but do you know what? It's adults too. Well, I want that kind of a car. I know it costs this much, but that's what I want. And so we get big eyes, and the old devil feeds it to us. And so we don't have the ability to take care of our families. We don't have the ability to do people right. You know, it's a blessing. When we take up an other's offering, every so often we have somebody in our church hits on hard times. Maybe their health insurance quit on them, it ran out. They reached their maximum. This thing happened, that thing happened. They lost their job. And so we take up another's offering. Now, nobody knows who it is, but I have the deacons stand at the back doors, and people go through. Some people put a check in. There's one time we had a couple that was really having a hard time with a little one, and somebody put a check in for a couple $1,000 because they had managed things well. Not this boy. Everything's for me. He had no vision for anybody else. Be careful being like the younger son. So he goes off and he wastes his substance with riotous living. And then the Bible says, you realize that money doesn't last forever. And so he didn't know that. He didn't understand it. He thought it would always last. And so it runs out. And as it does run out, then all of a sudden he starts going for a job and he's no longer somebody because he didn't have any money. His friends were all fair weather friends. Friends because you got money. But if you can't buy things for me and we can't go out and do things together and you pay for it, then, you know, I got other things to do. And pretty soon he found out, notice if you would, in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and he began to be in want. He couldn't get a job. Now, you and I think this rain is kind of nice or it's an inconvenience, but in Uganda, and in these third world countries where they're growing crops, or for the farmers, it's life. A rain at the right time is absolutely heavenly. In Uganda, many times Jeremy's called and said, Dad, the people are praying for rain. Would you pray that it does rain? I mean, I remember him calling saying, you know, it needs to rain. We've been in a drought. And so this young man gets into a drought and he has no place to get a job. There's nobody harvesting crops. There's nothing going on. And so finally he gets a job with one man. Notice if you would, in verse number 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Nobody would help him. All of his friends had gone. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, he's hungry, so he goes in to feed the hogs. Now, nothing wrong with feed the hogs. I've fed the hogs before. How many of you eat bacon? How many of you eat ham? Somebody fed those hogs. It just didn't grow on a tree. And somebody fed them and fed them good stuff. Well, this young man, he's the hog feeder, you'll notice if you would. And in verse number 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. Now, you know, you go out to my grandparents had a farm, and we had a big, a great big orchard and a large garden, and about an acre. It's a big garden. And so we'd go out there and we'd pull off the corn right off the stalks and shuck it and throw that to the hogs. And this young man was so hungry, he said, man, those shucks look good. I thank the Lord, when I was shucking corn with my grandparents, I never looked at that corn and the silk and said, boy, that looks good. I am grateful I've never been that hungry. But he sits down and looks at what the hogs are eating and says, you know, I'm going to get down there. I think I'm going to eat some of those shucks. That's what sin will do to you. It'll ruin your marriage. It'll ruin your relationship with your parents. It'll ruin your future. If you don't do what this young man did, and I want you to notice, when he came to himself, now that's critical for everybody in this room. All of us in this room will make mistakes. How many of you have never made a mistake? You've done everything perfect in your life. Let's see your hand. Okay. How many of you know somebody that's done everything right, done perfect? Let's see your hand. Okay. That's because we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:10. None righteous, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So every one of us, when we do that which is wrong, now what's the difference between wrong and sin? Wrong could be something that we did that our society says you shouldn't do. Okay, I remember one time I bought a house over here in Sterling when I first came here, and it was a pretty yellow frame house with the siding on it, and it had shutters on it. And my wife wanted me to paint the shutters blue. It was pretty, you know. It was kind of a nice little dollhouse-looking thing. She was so excited about it. So I go out there to start to paint the shutters blue, and somebody sent me a note and says, stop painting your shutters blue. I'm from Texas. They don't have HOAs like that. HO said, don't paint. Did you get that paint color approved? What? So I had to go get the paint color approved. Had to go get my paint color approved. Had to get my fence approved. Had to get the height of my fence approved. I had to get a landscaping approved. All that stuff, getting it approved, you know. And so here I'm trying to do the right thing. And I'm looking at it. I'm saying, wow, you know. And if you're not careful, your heart gets to get up and say, you can't tell me what to do. Anybody here ever had that feeling? You can't tell me what to do. It doesn't matter if it's that. What it is, you have to be very, very careful. When, now look, that may be something that's wrong to do according to society. But you know what's wrong according to the Lord and it becomes sin? It's anything the Lord says is wrong. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's oxen or ass. That's the Lord says is wrong. That's why you and I can't do it. Not only that, he takes sin to a different level. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if you're married and you don't treat your mate right, sweetly and graciously, then you've sinned against the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, she doesn't deserve it. Who in this room deserves the love of God? He loves you and I while we're yet sinners. And he says, I want you to love your mate unconditionally, husbands and wives. I want you to love your parents. I want you to obey your parents. So do you understand today those things are called sin because God said them? So today you and I have to live a certain way if we're God's children because we're trying to please the Lord. Now let me tell you this. It's a wonderful life because once you submit your heart to the Lord, that he blesses you beyond words. Showers of blessings. It's a great thing to be a Christian. But you have to surrender your heart to the Lord. So you'll notice, if you would, in this passage, he gets down to the point where he's eating these shucks and he says, oh, and then the thought hits him. And I love this thought. He said, man, my dad's servants, the people that work for my dad, they got it better than me. They don't own anything, but they got it better than me. He says, I'm going to go back to my dad and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I've been very foolish. Could I just have a job and you pay me like everybody else? You know what that tells me? He'd come to himself. He had realized he had done wrong and he was willing to make a genuine apology. This morning, when you and I do what's wrong, we have to come to ourselves and be able to look at somebody and say, look, I am sorry. Will you forgive me? And until we do that, there won't be a permanent change. And everybody in this room, we all have to get there because we're all sinners. So daily in our lives and weekly, we come to that point where we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Every week I have to tell somebody I'm sorry. I have to tell the secretary I'm sorry. I have to tell Jeremy and Mandy I'm sorry sometimes. I have to tell Brandon, very rarely, but I have to tell Brandon I'm sorry, you know. I have to tell different guys I'm sorry. I hear it work. If you work with people, you're going to do something that you shouldn't do. You're either going to do something that you should ask them about, or you're going to whatever. And are you good at coming to yourself? Do you ask the Lord, Lord, help me to come to myself so that I can see the wrong that I do so I can make it right? You know, it's critical in a marriage. Coming to yourself. I don't want anybody to laugh, but I sometimes get going too fast. I ask not to laugh. So when my wife and I would go to the mall, I would take her to the mall, and I would always turn around and look back and say, come on, honey. You said we're going to go to wherever it was, you know, and let's go. And she was always looking around. She was shopping. I said, honey, you said you wanted to go to the store to get this perfume. Let's go. How many of you guys, your mindset is, I want to go to the store, get it, and get out? Let me see your hand. See, oh, wait a minute. I'm not alone. So you know what? But the only problem was I married this girl that was different. And she liked to go through and shop. So you know, I said, look, I'm just going too fast. So I said, let me hold your hand. That way I won't get too far ahead of you. I can only go, what, 3 feet and 2 feet? I don't know how far I can get away. So then I found myself dragging her down the mall. I said, honey, I'm sorry. She said, honey, I can't walk that fast. My legs are not as long as yours. I am sorry, honey. You know, I realized I had to apologize. I'm sorry, honey. So I'd grip her hand a little tighter, and I'd feel my arm get tight, and I'd back up, and I said, oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. And then she lost her leg, was in a wheelchair. So then we go to the mall, and I'd put my hand in a wheelchair, and I'd walk with her, because now all of a sudden, I've got to focus on her, walking with her. And you know what I realized? Honey, for 20 years I walked too fast. Will you forgive me? I wasn't a very thoughtful husband. I think there's a lot of husbands like that. I'm not the only one like that. Because I saw all you raise your hands. You like to go in and get out. That's me. But you know what I learned? I learned I married a sweet young lady that was a little different. And I had to change to be a blessing to her. Every one of you guys in this room, you better look at yourself in the mirror. Have you come to yourself? Because tell you what, then a little later on, how many of you remember my wife? I bought that last wheelchair, the white one. And it would go 8-9 miles an hour. So we went in the mall, I'd grab her by the hand, she'd kick it in gear, and she was going like this. Turnabout fair play. I said, honey, slow down. She said, for the first time in my life. And she just kept getting it. She'd just laugh. You know what? I wished I'd learned my lesson earlier. I wished I'd have realized I could be a lot better husband. It's not just food on the table and a roof over the head. It's not just, you know, this and that. It is being good to somebody in the way they need it. And every one of us men and every one of us ladies, you and I need to step back and say, have you come to yourself and said, I didn't see it before. I see it now. Will you look me in the eye? I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, I don't get a second chance. My wife's already in heaven, but I sure would like to have one more chance to walk through the mall with her. I guarantee you, I could go slow now. Because I miss her. But don't wait for something to be taken away from you before you change. That's what happened here. So he comes, he decides he's going to do. Now watch what he does. He rehearses. And maybe we need to rehearse a little bit. Maybe you and you've not said been too good to your husband or your wife. You need to rehearse. Maybe you haven't been too good to your parents a little bit. And you've taken that bed for granted and that nightstand for granted and that ceiling fan for granted and the closet, all the full things in the closet for granted and the shoes and the granite for granted. You've taken it all for granted. You haven't said, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. Thank you. Have you come to yourself yet? Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know what he's saying? I'm an idiot. That's what he's saying. I'm just a foolish man. What's wrong with me? And anytime you come to yourself, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, why didn't I walk slower with her in the mall? What was so important that I had to get there and get out? I should have wanted to spend time with her. And folks, I want to tell you today, every one of this room, you better slow down and you better take your time and look at the blessings of God and come to yourself and say, I'm sorry. I need to change this, and I will. So notice what happens. Verse 18, he rehearses it in his mind. And boy, I think this is a good thing. Everybody in this room, you ought to come to yourself and say, you know what? I got some apologies to make. I will arise. He's on his knees in the pig pen. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Now, did you notice the order? I have sinned against you. There is no sin without God. Hey, look, one of the greatest things about being a Christian, if you're married, is you always have to do your mate right or you're out of the will of God. I could never run around to my wife because I would displease the Lord first. Plus, my wife carried a gun. I wasn't stupid. I wanted to do my wife right because the Lord was always watching. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So when you become a Christian and you say, Lord, I want to please you, it changes everything. Everywhere you go, I want to do what's right. So I didn't need my wife around to watch me. I didn't need Brother Brandon or Brother Scott to watch me do what's right. I want to please my Heavenly Father. So everything is different. So he said, I have sinned against heaven. Lord, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. Have you told the Lord you're sorry when you've come to yourself? That's the first person. You always have to get on your knees and say, Lord, I am sorry. Without that, you will not change. But with that, everybody can change. Now notice this. He says, and verse 18, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So he looks right to his dad in his mind, and he says, I've sinned before heaven and against you. Now, I want you to notice the words that he's saying. And notice verse 19, and this is really critical. Have you humbled yourself completely and am no more worthy to be called thy son? Wow. He really came to himself then. Mom, Dad, I haven't treated you like I even worthy to be your son. I'm sorry. You know what I've learned since my wife's gone to heaven? She did a lot more than I thought. And if you lose your husband, you're going to find out he did a lot more than you thought. And if you lose your wife, you're going to find out they did a lot more than you thought. And if you lose your parents, you're going to all of a sudden say, they did a lot more than I thought. Did you know when I got up out of my bed, there was nobody that made it? I remember getting up and looking at my, I said, man, I slept, who's going to make my bed now? Because my wife always made it. And the sheets, who's going to wash them and clean them, put them on? She put the sheets on in a wheelchair. I have no idea how she did that. I have a hard time and I got both legs. I don't know how she did that. Boy, wow. I should have told her thank you more. You know, the towels and everything. And she'd take my underclothes, she'd fold them up and put them in the drawer. You know what? That dryer doesn't do that. That's what I learned. I realized she did a lot for me. Do you realize that yet? And I could look at her and say, honey, I'm not worthy to be your husband. I haven't done everything I could have done to please you and to be a blessing to you. I think a lot of us men and this women in this room, we ought to come to ourselves this morning. A lot of young people, you ought to come to yourself this morning. Now watch the wording. I want you to see this. Look here. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. There's humility. If you don't get humbled, if you don't get on your knees, if you don't get put in the pig's pen in your own mind and heart And God doesn't have to put you where you have no job or nothing. You can just look at it and say, I've not been right to my wife or husband or my parents or to the guy at work or whatever. I just haven't done the right thing. I'm sorry. Notice, if you would, he says, and make me as one of the hired servants. I don't know, forget who I am. Just give me a job. Now then notice what happens. And he rose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, verse 20, his father saw him. What does that tell you? Oh, his father loved him. And every day his father, he's getting up on the top of the hill and he's looking over. Is my son coming home today? And folks, every one of us in this room, how many of you got somebody that's wayward in your family that you love and you love them to come to the Lord, come back to the Lord? Would you raise your hand? All over the building. Raise it up. Good night. Raise it up. Okay. All over the place. Are you looking? Are you praying? Or have you said, hey, have it your own way? This was a great father. He's coming. That's him. I can tell by the walk. It's my son. And notice what he does. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't make him grovel all the way back. He went and ran to him and said, I love you, son. Welcome home. And notice what his son does. And his son said unto him, Father, now notice this. He kissed him and fell on his neck, and his son stood up and he said, Father, and he pushed him back a little bit. He said, Dad, I got something to tell you. And notice what he says, exactly what he rehearsed. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do we apologize like that? Now, the lesson you can learn from this young man is when he came to himself, he didn't come home and say, hey, Dad, sorry. What's for supper? He said, wait a minute, Dad. I sinned against the Lord. I sinned against you. And I don't deserve to be your son anymore. And when the dad heard that, notice what he does. But the father said to his servants, he turns around to all the hired help and he says, bring forth the best robe. Go get the best robe, the one that says he's my son. Notice if you would, and put it on him and put a ring on his hand, noticing that he is my son. And notice, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Now, I don't know if you guys know what a fatted calf is. How many of you don't know what a fatted calf is? My grandparents used to have a big barn, and they'd have a calf in there that they'd feed oats and all kinds of grain, and they'd fatten him up. And so the meat was real good and tender. And they'd butcher the calf, and man, we had good food. I mean, hamburgers and steaks and roasts, and it was wonderful. And he says to his servants, go kill the fatted calf. That was only for the most special occasions. So you can tell what the father thought. My son is home. We're going to have a great party. We're going to rejoice. A lot of people, when people get right, they want them to keep hurting. They don't want to rejoice. I want you to know something today. It's not up to us to make somebody hurt. There's a God in heaven that has a bigger stick to correct people than you and I ever have to. He can take away a job. He can bring forth ill health. He can do all kinds of things. And he never does it in anger. He does it because he loves us to bring us back. Have you come to yourself yet? Have you come back to the person? Have you been entitled in your marriage with your parents? Have you been entitled? Do you realize it? Do you see? Have you told the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, I've taken all that you... How many of you have gone to college? Or you have plans to go to college? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Raise it up. Good night. Good night. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Let's see here. I'm not asking you, Ben. Let's see here. Ethan, are you planning on going to college? You got any money? You're going to go to college, but you have no money? How are you going to go? Oh, your parents are going to help you, son. I bet you he don't pay for it all. I know your dad. Yeah, okay. Let's see here. Tell me, you're going to go to college? You got it paid for yet? No, sir. Okay? So you know what happens? We all count on people. But a lot of times we don't go to them and say, I want to thank you for all you've done for me. And if you could help me, I'd appreciate it. But I'll do my best. Tell me what I can do. We don't do that. We get selfish and we entitled and we think we deserve things. This young man is a tremendous example of how to get things right and how to treat people right. He goes back and he says, okay, I'm sorry. And the dad is the perfect example of how to accept somebody back. I'm glad you're home. Son, I'm glad you're here. But I want you to notice one thing more. Notice, if you would, verse number 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music, and he heard all this big party going on. And notice in verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. So he's out in the field laboring along, and he comes in, and he said to him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. You and I have to be very careful to be angry when people try to come to themselves and come back to do right. You know what the first thing you say? Do they really mean it? You and I don't get that right. God looks at the heart and he knows it. But I want you to notice, it doesn't mean you give away the store. Look what he says. Verse number 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. So his other son has been very faithful, but he's bitter. He's jealous because he doesn't want his brother to come back. He doesn't want him to get right. And there's a lot of people that whenever someone's done you wrong, you want them to keep hurting. You don't want them to come back and everything to be right between them and the Lord again. And so notice what happens. He says, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You know, it is a good thing sometimes when we've done what's right that somebody honors that and says, hey, look, let's have a party. My son's done right for 30 years. You know, we don't seem to reward right as much as we should. If you have faithful kids, be good to them. But tell them why. So notice what he says. Verse number 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Whoa, this young man lived a very sinful, wicked life. The Bible didn't tell us that before. Thou'st killed for him the fatted calf. Well, there's a bitterness in his heart. But notice what the father says. Son, you're worried about nothing. You know what he's worried about? Listen very carefully. You know what he's worried about? He thinks the dad's going to come back and divide his living and give it back to the other son. He's going to get twice as much as he deserves. He's selfish. And all of us in this room that have been faithful, we have to be very careful to be selfish. I've done this and I've done that. And God, why not be careful? We'd be like the elder son. So notice what he says, verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. That's his way of saying, son, you've been so faithful, and I'm thankful. And all that I have is thine. You know what he's telling him? I'm grateful the younger son is back, but he doesn't get anything else. He blew it. But I'm going to love him. I'm going to be good to him. But he's got to earn his way now. Do you understand today that we serve a gracious God? But when we don't have the right attitude and we blow the goodness of God and come back to him, it takes a while to get back the things that God gave us the first time. And sometimes we never get it all back. So you and I have to learn the lessons of this passage. Don't look at the world and lust after it. It'll ruin you. And when you come to yourself all the way. When you make a mistake, when you've sinned, be sure and say, Lord, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. And I'm going to go tell my husband I'm sorry. I'm going to go tell my wife I'm sorry. I'm going to go tell my parents I'm sorry. If you don't do your best in school, you ought to tell your parents, I'm sorry. I've been a lazy bum. I don't even deserve to be your son. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Mom. Your parents feed you. How many times have you gone and sat down for today's lunch? You sit down and say, Mom, thank you for the good meal. Let me help you wash the dishes. But I want you to remind yourself, if you waste the blessings of God, he doesn't have to give them back to you. And all of us need to learn the lesson. We serve a great God. But the faithful are the ones that benefit the most. So today, no matter where you are, if you're looking at the world, turn your eyes. Don't look anymore. Don't let the world pull you in. If you've fallen into the world, come to yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And go to the people you've hurt. Tell them you're sorry. You can get it all right. Maybe you haven't been a good husband. Maybe you walked too fast in the mall. Maybe you haven't been a good wife. Make it right today. Maybe you haven't been a good son or daughter. Make it right today. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not even his child. You're a good person, but you're not a child of God because you've never been saved. Would you come today and trust him? He will kill the fatted calf, put a robe on your shoulders, make you his child. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in men. My Father's house are many mansions. He goes to prepare a place for you so you can be with him forever. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm a little bitter. I see the blessings of God on people that don't do what's right. That's not fair. You remind yourself, all that heaven is reserved for you. All the blessings of God, he says, I will bless you if you do what's right. There's nobody better than the God of heaven to us. Will you trust him? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Is there somebody you need to say I'm sorry to? Did you have a bad week this week? Do you need to tell the Lord I'm sorry? Could I urge you to do this? You come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Come to heaven first. Maybe you're here today and you said, Pastor, I've got someone I love that's not doing the right thing. I'm going to pray for them more. And I'm not going to pray jealously. I'm going to pray for God to bless them and God to bring them back, however he sees fit. Maybe you're here today and you're jealous of another Christian's blessings. Why don't you come tell the Lord you're sorry? Whatever the need is, maybe there's somebody you've got to pray for. I encourage you to come to this altar and lift that person up. Folks, that we need Christians to love other people. All of us. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you need to come, have you come to yourself? If you have, you tell the Lord you're sorry. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts this morning. Lord, I know there are people in this room and a crowd this size, there are bound to be people that don't know you as Savior. They haven't settled the gift of eternal life. They're not sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. But they'd like to be. Lord, would you help them to come this morning? Would you open their eyes to the fact that you love them and you've already paid for their debt of sin? Give them the courage to step out. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.